Hello, everybody, and welcome to the newest episode of Smash Cuts. And I'm Rich Caban, and with me on this episode is Jacqueline Kemick and David Maldonado. So what's going to happen on this episode is we're going to be doing a deep dive on Avengers Endgame, with a three-hour movie that wraps up the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe. We clearly have a lot of thoughts and a lot of feelings and a lot of things to talk about.
So Avengers happened.
Yeah.
Avengers Endgame. The culmination of 10 years. What did you think? What did you feel?
What did you not feel?
I know.
What a journey. What an incredible ride. I mean, I think it was such a great example of fanfare done right in a loving way that was reverent to the characters and to the family that everybody feels like they're a part of in this. You know, I mean, everyone has a connection to these characters in such a deep and meaningful way because of the decade that we've spent with them. Standalone, if it was the first film that anybody had ever seen of a Marvel movie, sure, it might not stand up to be like the best as far as like character arcs open to close. But when you're talking about the tail end of a 10-year journey, I thought it was brilliant. I have no complaints.
This is the culmination of a lot. And it's like the thing is we couldn't even dream of the fact that they did what they did. You know, they accomplished so much with these last two movies. It's an incredible achievement. Like I said, of 10 years, like you guys were saying, of character development, arcs and storylines, all kinds of little Easter eggs up the wazoo, whatever you want to call it. But I mean, but it's the season finale. It's the last episode of this awesome experience. And if they make no other movies, then they went out with a big bang. They probably need to take a couple of steps back and take a breath and go, okay, what's next? Hopefully they haven't figured out.
Well, I'm sure they do. They have like 17 phases planned, right?
I know. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So
I know we're probably going to go through quite a bit of it, but I love how they did end up bringing everyone back into that 5-year period where it didn't just retcon the entire journey that all the people who stayed went through and how they're going to deal with that in the next movies. The next Spider-Man film that's coming out has got to deal with that. And I'm sure that there's going to be repercussions that I hope that they play with more than just in one film, because even just thinking about the political and social landscapes that shift so much. And you would see, you know, just all of the people just go back to their jobs. Like, that doesn't just happen. Know. You know what I mean?
Well, like, I'm of the thinking, like, what about the guy who's like, well, I guess my wife and kids are gone. Right. Let me start a new family. And then all of a sudden, you know, ding dong.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, there's so much that they can do. And I don't want to necessarily say that this has to taint like every single story that they're telling, but I just want to make sure that it doesn't say like, oh no, we covered that in Spider-Man and it's over now. You know what I mean? Like,
but it really should reflect, you know, it should send a ripple out through every story. That was the thing about, you know, that got us into the comics. The fact that there was a world that was being affected by everything. Yes. People are starting to realize that connection cinematically now, but back in the day when people read comics, it was like, you know, we didn't have that kind of universe to watch on TV. Everything was just so cut off from each other where they had to change it so drastically that, you know, it was barely the thing you recognized, but you took this crumb of, you know, Spider-Man, you know, sitting on ice pool, fighting the abominable snowman on Electric Company. You know what I mean? So, the fact that we get to see Spidey and, you know, just all the cool parts in that movie. I know we're probably going to rattle off our favorite moments, but
it's definitely not a standalone movie. Like, that's the one thing where I felt like Infinity War really, really figured out a way to make it its own movie. Where if nobody had ever seen any of those movies before, they could have kind of still walked in and still understand what's happening and it was a complete story, even if they said, I never need to see another one again.
Right.
It had a complete, it was a complete film. It was Thanos' journey from beginning to end. Right.
Correct.
Where this one, maybe it's Iron Man's journey, but as an event, as part of a story, I was just smiling from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. Things that were thrown in, like even when he's talking to the Ancient One, and Hulk is sitting, you know, he removes Bruce Banner from Hulk, and Hulk is just kind of sitting there, looking exactly like a picture frame from Old Man Logan when the Hulks are in charge of the regions, and there's like a Hulk sitting there with a straw hat like that. Like that was not an accident. Like you don't right, just all of a sudden a straw hat just pops up on his head. And, mm-hmm. Or even like the end battle that's like a splash page. Like when everyone just kind of pops up, you know, and it's so huge and you're like,
it was the Marvel Super Special issue 12. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the Alex Ross, you know, double wide.
The only thing missing was the staple in the middle of it, you know, like this, this is not anything you have to contend with. Even when I thought I knew where it was going, it still didn't go in that direction. You know, even with Black Widow, like that was a huge surprise to me. I did not expect spoilers. Anyone's listening to this.
Oh, yeah. It's been weeks.
I think everybody's seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think everybody had ideas in their head of what it was going to be because we've all been thinking about it for years, but especially after Infinity War ended, you know, we all kind of had our moments of like, okay, well, it's these three possibilities, right? Like in our head, we had like, okay, they could go this way, or this way. They really were smart about the balance there where they gave us what is expected to a degree, but still kept some things close to the chest so that it was still fresh. I didn't feel like I was watching a movie that I had already read in the comics exactly page by page or that I had already written in my head. It was nice to get some of that wish fulfillment, but not be paint by numbers.
I mean, Captain America's part, the hammer, I nearly jumped out of my seat. The fact, because it was just such an emotional, wonderful moment. You just knew, and you're like, of course he could do it.
Him trying to lift Thor's hammer at the party that they were all at for Age of Ultron. And they referenced, you know, that just right in that second, he could have lifted the hammer, but couldn't tell. He didn't want to, you know, upstage Thor or like take something away from him that was like his biggest pride. Like that kind of control, that's just the kind of guy he is. Like how amazing he wasn't trying to showboat or take it. And then like the whole I knew it line from Thor, it was just so perfect. All of the team ups, all of like the splash page that just lasted for 20 minutes, you know, and that's exactly how the comics are, right? Where you just hone in on a panel here with these two characters and a panel here with this character. And I mean, it was just so satisfying and devastating at the same time, of course. But the only thing that I've really seen a lot of blowback for, and it drives me nuts because I'm like, oh my God, it's 3 seconds of the movie. But a lot of people apparently had a lot of flack for the all female get together. Like,
but I'm like, sisters stick together all the time.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. And you know what? Just let us have this. You know what I mean? Let us have this 3 seconds of film. You know, is it really that much? Scarlet Witch had an amazing moment. I thought, seriously, she was going to kill him.
Yeah.
It was done and he knew it. That's why he initiated the Rain Fire Initiative. It was definitely like, that was it. She was gonna. Yeah. And he was like, oh shit.
They were busy at first because most of the women, like after everything's won, like they need the food and the houses to be clean. So that's what
Seriously, there was so much there right from the beginning. No, I didn't think that they were missing. And I loved that they did have that moment of solidarity. And I don't think, like, maybe, it was a little cheesy, but, like, it's still a superhero movie. They're allowed to have
it. I saw it with a friend of mine who's read everything. Like, he knows comics backwards and forwards. What he was so excited about was that's so right out of the comics, like that was actually a sub issue. So like anybody who complains like that's for this or that's for that, that's happened in the comics a million and one time.
When I was talking to someone else about it and their comment to me was like, oh well, it was a little woke for me. And I was just like, what?
Whoa.
What? That mean? I was like, what do you mean? And they brought up Cap is in that support group, and there's a guy talking about going on a date, and it's with another man. I was like, oh my God, I didn't even like think twice about that because it's such a normal thing. But apparently for some people who are a little more sensitive to alternative lifestyles.
Oh, brother. You know? I didn't even think about that scene until you just mentioned it just now. Like, I
mean, neither.
That even happened.
Exactly. Because it's just such a normal part of life and love and all of the people that, how many people in our lives have something like that, whether they be gay, lesbian, bi, transgender, you know, I mean, yeah. Pansexual.
The audience is made up of everybody, so.
Exactly. Representation does matter. 100%. And I just, drives me nuts. But that's literally the only kind of blowback I have heard. Have you guys heard anything else from any other kind of point of view?
Well, people get nitpicky about Captain America and messing up the timeline at the end, which, whatever.
I just remembered one that Thanos was maybe too powerful before he had the glove.
Oh.
Before he had the stones. But like
he's a Titan though, isn't he? Isn't he like freaking like amazingly strong? Like he could beat up the Hulk without the.
I think he's like a celestial, like isn't he descendant of a celestial or something like that? Like
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
One of my friends was telling me at work, he was just going off about the fact that yes, he is that strong. He doesn't need the Infinity Gauntlet.
When he beat the Hulk though, he had the Power Stone already.
Did you guys feel like he wasn't as interesting in this one as he was in the first movie?
Oh, definitely not. Yeah, because it's not his movie. Yeah, it is. And I think it's because the Thanos that we cared about was killed in the first 5 minutes of this film, which was surprising. Right. And then this Thanos, a villain like most one-dimensional villains, only because at that time, that's all he cares about. Yeah, it's just that he didn't have to sacrifice Gamora. He didn't have to do any of the things that made his character grow. So defeating him wasn't as big a deal. But at the same time, that wasn't really the goal. It was more, the goal was getting everybody back. And then this other guy shows up. And his army was interesting, too, because it wasn't the same army. It was the first army that he had from the first Avengers, right? Because it was...
Right, the Chitauri or whatever.
As much as I love seeing Hulk, something weird happened where I missed Bruce Banner a little bit. Because I thought Bruce Banner was a great character. That seeing this guy so put together and so, like, okay with everything.
On, Hulk.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he chilled out. The Hulk kind of, you know...
What's going on, man?
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked
it. Who wants some smoothies? You know, like
I know.
I liked it. I thought it was cute.
Oh God, I like that.
Yeah. Like, oh, that was funny. Yeah, when he's making fun of himself in a way.
That's so funny.
But even like that one scene where he's like, "Oh, Ant-Man wants a picture. Come on, look at him. He feels bad." He's like, "This
is not." I thought it was great. I honestly felt like his facial animations in that were just incredible. Like I felt like that's the most handsome Hulk has ever looked for sure. But just the subtleties were so great.
So I guess Green Hulk is kind of like the baby Hulk or the infantile, you know, the one that's just id. Then there's the Gray Hulk, which is when he's in his teenage years, which I didn't really know differentiation between all these Hulks. I don't know what the, and then there's the one where he becomes professor. He's green again, but I guess he's older. Like that's when he started to show gray and he's kind of like what they did in the movie. But I didn't know
that Gray Hulk was teenage Hulk. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember the really cool McFarlane drawings that he did. Like, didn't he draw Hulk for a bit?
Yeah.
It was just like, there was some amazing artwork he did on that series. And doesn't he fight Wolverine in that series too, I think?
Well, yeah, there was one comic where he actually, I'm thinking of the Ultimate. There was a Wolverine, it was an amazing Ultimate Hulk versus Wolverine where the Hulk literally pulls Wolverine apart or in half and throws him across the island like in two separate directions. So through half of that, the next two issues, Wolverine is slowly crawling himself back to his legs while the Hulk is
Gar's legs just like walking around the forest by bumping into trees.
No, they're just like, yeah. I mean, it's probably better that than if you had the creepy Deadpool growing your legs back moment, right?
Oh, like
the last Deadpool movie.
Oh my God, yeah.
It's interesting. So many people got to shine in Infinity Wars, and then they figured out a way for the people that didn't get to shine to have big moments.
To really have moments, yeah.
And even someone like Nebula, like I never would have thought she would have been as prominent as she was in this film.
Right, right. Yeah, I thought it was great. But I thought it was very smart. I mean, I think that the way that they tied her in and were used her network to be how Thanos knew, you know, what was going on. Right. I think that all of that was a really great way to tie everything together. And especially because her and Rocket really were the only two Guardians left. It was a nice moment, too. I really liked the moment that her and
in their little groups. But it's, and then there was the kid at the end who it took me when I saw it. I'm like, who the hell is that kid? Like, I
know. I had no clue.
Yeah,
who he was.
I think we all did.
Is that the PA? Like, the PA wandered on set.
I mean, we knew it had to be somebody, but I should have put two and two together with him being younger.
Yeah. And I did go see it again. And it's interesting. Because when I first saw it, I didn't really think about it. But when I was watching it the second time, I was trying to figure out if they were all there together or if it was
edited together.
Yeah. And I think for the most of it, like someone like, most of them look like they were all there except for, what's his name? Not William Hurt.
Michael Douglas.
The general. No, not Mike. Well, yeah, Michael Douglas, but the general.
It is William Hurt.
Yeah. What was that? Oh, I'm thinking of John Hurt. That's what I was saying. Yeah, William Hurt. Yeah, like, no. He's the only one that looked like, I mean, I'm sure
maybe
he did
was
film
imposed,
something.
Superimposed.
Yeah, they look like they took him out of another film. Like, that's the only thing I noticed. Like, you know, he's in altered states. He's like standing back there.
That's funny. But. Yeah. No, that was, I thought it was good. I thought it was touching. And I liked, you know, the fact that they didn't have them all together, which I know every wedding and every funeral in a Marvel or DC universe, for that matter, just has everybody in a fucking line, right?
Yeah.
Like all kind of practice. And I think staggering them was good. You know, it gave them all a moment. And it did make sense. Because, I mean, when you're at an event like that, you do stand with the person that you came with. You do stand with your family. You know, I mean, it's just kind of. It's natural.
It was laid out like in a way where they could put like the little boxes over it and describe who's sitting there or their
exactly.
Or something like
that. That is true. That is true. Yeah, and that was the other thing too. Is interesting is because I thought they were going to leave it ambiguous as to if they were going to hand the shield over to Falcon, because I thought maybe maybe the TV show is going to deal with. Is it going to be Winter Soldier? Or is it going to be Falcon who takes over the mantle? Because they both did in the comics.
Right.
So, one of the things about Winter Soldier being Captain America, like when I first read that whole arc when Steve Rogers was shot and he was dead in the comics, and then they had, you know, Winter Soldier kind of taking over for him. They killed him so well and they handled it so well that I was actually disappointed when he was coming back, like when Steve Rogers was returning, because I was like, oh,
it was such a good send off.
Yeah, it was such a good send off. And the story was so good with Bucky up until that point. Like Ed Brubaker was the writer on that. And and there was another thread that they hinted at it in the movie in Winter Soldier, but they kind of dropped it. So Sharon Carter, which is what's her name's niece, Peggy Carter, if you remember at the end of Winter Soldier, you see her kind of in a shooting range and you don't know what that really means. Now, in the comics, when you read her story, she's actually the one that shot Steve Rogers because she was a brainwashed Hydra agent, but didn't know that she was.
Right.
So they seemed like they were setting that up, and I was kind of surprised that she just kind of disappeared. Like she never came back again.
Well, it was ambiguous enough that, I don't think that every single thing is always laid out for them. I do think that they have a general plan of these notes need to be hit in this movie to move our whole arc forward. But I mean, maybe that was something that they wanted to leave in there just in case they went that route. But as the later movies came together, that's not, you know, the way that they wanted to go.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much. I mean, there's a, it, it's, you know, that could be an extra in the DVD for all, you know,
right.
Because there's so many mm-hmm. things that you could, you know, that had to be tied up. Like that was the other thing too, is the Guardians at the end. You know, mm-hmm. when you see them show up, you realize in this movie, they're really a cameo except for
right.
Nebula. For Rocket and Nebula.
Yeah.
And Captain Marvel, even, I was kind of surprised. I thought her role was going to be much bigger than it was. Because they made such a big deal. I think that was good, deal, though. But, yeah, oh, yeah, me too. But I was just surprised.
I think it was good. I think it was good that she didn't overpower it. Oh, you still haven't seen Captain Marvel?
No, I have to. I have to.
I liked it. I don't think that it was like top five Marvel movie kind of thing, but I do. I put her in the middle of my Marvel movie lineup.
Yeah.
I do think that she is awesome. I mean, she's awesome. But I also do think that because of the type of character she is, and I would have the same conversation or same thought process, even if she was a guy, her personality didn't click with me right away. And I know a lot of people are saying that in a negative way, like, well, no, she's a woman. And if a man acted that, I'm like, no, like, even if a dude acted that kind of cocky right off the bat, I don't know that I would necessarily click with them right away. Like, I think that they put a lot of weight on her being instantly likable because she's spunky and she's cool and she's powerful. And yes, I like all of those traits. But I didn't have that warm moment with her until really later on in the film. And I got there, but it took a while to get there. And I felt like the 90s nostalgia moments could have been so much more impactful if they hadn't been hitting you over the head with them so hard in some points, especially the music. There's this one scene towards the end that's an incredible fight scene. I absolutely loved it. But they put "I'm Just a Girl," the No Doubt song on, that. And I'm like, "Oh God!" It took me out. You know what I mean? I'm like,
wow, it's so funny you say that. I didn't even notice they did but I didn't notice it at the moment. The only thing I noticed.
Oh, well, I'm glad, but I mean, that's nice that you stayed in the movie. Yeah.
But the only thing I noticed, just when you're saying that now, is you know, I've never liked Top Gun. I'm like one of the rare males that doesn't, you know, ever shows that movie off when I want to show off my sound system or something like that.
No. But, are you having Laserland flashbacks?
Yeah, Laserland or The Wiz. Nobody beats The Wiz. Oh, let me just show you something for a second. You know, Highway 2, and then just, you know, oh, wow. Yeah, let's
okay, don't bring here. Kenny Loggins into this. He's a treasure.
Yeah. He's responsible.
No. He's a treasure. You leave him out of it.
But it, you know, when I think of that movie, it's like, you know, I liked Goose in the movie. He was fine. Mm-hmm. But I did not like Tom.
Well, yeah. I like Goose.
Yeah.
I like, you know, who doesn't Andy like Goose? Sweeney, he's a good guy. Topic and everything, you know.
Yeah, I never liked Tom Cruise's character. I thought he was a dick through that movie from the beginning to end.
Right, he was.
Yeah, there's no moment where I said, God, good for him, you know. And maybe that's what they did with her a little bit, you know, except for the end. She does get.
You get there. But it takes the whole movie. Jesus. anyway. The coolest thing about her in the middle of the movie is that she's wearing a Nine Inch Nails shirt, which we didn't even get any Nine Inch Nails music, if I'm remembering correctly. That would have been better than the No Doubt, which, again, I listened to No Doubt on repeat when I was growing up. So, I mean, I get the nostalgia factor there. But they had some really great orchestral music in that film. And I think that they could have even kept some of that in, or just picked something else that wasn't quite so campy. There were some real camp things, like even like Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls is in it. And you're just like, I don't know. I just kind of hated the soundtrack, which sucks because I love a lot about the 90s. Yeah. There were some songs that were cool in there. But honestly, that was my biggest
well, you know what it could have been?
Is Two Princes in there? Because if Two Princes in there, I'm not seeing the movie.
You know what it could have been too is one of those deals where they're like, well, we spent a lot of money on all of this stuff. What's the cheapest 90s songs that we can get so that we don't have to spend that much money?
Yeah,
Are you kidding me? They have endless cash.
I know. I know. But seriously, with that being said, obviously those are gripes, but I actually really did like it. I went and saw it again. I had a great time with it. So even though it doesn't rank in my top five Marvel movies, I still think that it's a worthwhile film. I think that they handled her great in Endgame. I hope that that's how they continue with her, because I liked how she was clear about wanting to help her friend, Nick Fury, wanting to help, you know, the Avengers, but also setting those boundaries, being like, you know what? There's 1,000 planets out there that don't have Avengers. You know, like, you guys got to be able to pull your weight just like I have to pull mine.
And let me, and let then me
she's
tell
showing
you.
Up in the moment. Yeah.
And like for Xavier, he loved Captain Marvel. Like the minute it was over, he was like, that's my favorite superhero movie. Like, he just loved it from beginning to end. And so what was funny was I didn't get to see Avengers with him. He went with Jen, and he sat through 3 hours, no problem. Like, she said he was on the edge of his seat watching the whole thing. But she said that when Captain Marvel showed up and crashed through the spaceship, he jumped out of his seat and went, yeah, like screaming top of his lungs. So he was so happy. So he loves that one.
Oh, and see, that's great. And that's really, maybe that's a better way to look at it, because I could see that being really attractive to a younger audience because she is spunky in a youthful kind of way. Yeah, you know?
The funny is every time he tells someone he saw it, I have to stop him, because the first thing he says, they say, oh, you saw Avengers. Did you like it? It was really great. It was sad at the end when I have to go,
don't tell me. Oh, no, it's a good time. No,
spoiler.
Yeah,
he has to go through
explaining. It's the worst. You know what's funny is that my mom's a big Marvel fan. She loves all the movies, but she lives in the mountains. They have one movie theater that's from seriously like the 1920s or something. And she also takes care of my grandma. She doesn't get out that much as far as like doing fun things for herself. So she's not going to go see it in the theater. And I am dying. I'm like, what do you mean? I have to wait until it comes on Amazon to talk to you about this? How are you going to stay spoiler free? Now, luckily, she lives in the mountains. She doesn't have cable. She, you know, watches Netflix and stuff. So there's no like trailers or memes. She's not really on Facebook. But still, I'm like, oh my gosh, you need to make sure the people around you know to protect you and not share memes. And like, even the things where we're seeing pictures everywhere with Captain America holding Mjolnir. And I'm just like, oh, my whole mom's not seeing this.
I know. It's like people cannot calm down. They're like, I got to show it, you know, and it's like, they have to, it's like they can't relax. Like, it's like that even with Game of Thrones. My God, the show just ended.
I know.
Like, yesterday's episode. And already it was like, I went on Facebook and there were like people posting pictures. I'm like, dude.
I know.
Before the movie, when the movie begins, they said stay after for a special sneak preview of Spider-Man. And so the way that the Spider-Man trailer comes up at the end is kind of like the end credits, you know, the secret scene,
like
now.
The teasers. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's kind of cool.
So because it makes sense, because you don't want to show it before the movie, because that would that would kind of blow, you know, blow.
Did
the movie
you guys see us? Did you guys see a special sneak Spider-Man thing at the end?
No, I just saw it regular. It only just started this weekend.
I didn't stay because all of my movies, Media Stinger stuff said there were no extras. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
I'd
think
be
they,
really mad.
I think they started it this weekend. Like, this was the first time that they had done it. And there was even like a little warning about it prior, you know, like,
you know, it's funny, like, when the movie ended and like, you know, there was no stinger at the end. Some guy in the audience, like, was behind us as we were getting up. And he's like, well, that sucks. And I'm like,
yeah, really.
You just watched this fucking 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
You're pissed off.
I know.
You're just gonna get the fucking stinger. Oh my God.
This is bullshit, right?
It's bullshit.
Okay, so you did stay till the end. I heard that there was the three.
There's a sound effect.
At the end. Is that correct?
Yeah.
It's like, so it was like the Iron Man. Making his own suit and everything. So some people were saying that maybe that's teasing that there will be another Iron Man, or I think it might just be that it's an homage to the beginning and the end of his character, like a cyclical, you know,
I think that's
thing.
What it is. I mean, there were some ridiculous theories out there too. Some people were saying, well, it sounds like Wolverine's claws. I'm like, no, it doesn't.
No, yeah, it doesn't. It's yeah, not a snicker snicker.
There's no snick. It was a freaking.
That's funny.
It was a clang.
Yeah. Did you hear me, Your Honor? There was no click. It wasn't a snitch. It was a clang. My mommy hurt my head.
Yeah. But yeah, no. Okay. So what we haven't talked about time travel. I loved how they addressed it. I loved that they were like, you're basing this on, you know, Back to the Future and how they go about like, okay, they're going by these kind of rules, not these kind of rules, you know? And so I thought, I don't know. I loved how they did go into it. I know, even myself sometimes can be like, oh, I hate it when they use these outs, right? Where they're like, write themselves into a corner and they have to get out of it somehow and oh, time travel, you know what I mean? But I felt like this fit. I felt like this worked in a solid way. And again, we still paid prices. We still have people gone. We still don't have Vision. We still don't have Black Widow. Mm-hmm. Now I know, Richie, you said that you were surprised with Black Widow. Black Widow was actually one that I, going into the film, thought was going to die because, number one, she has a movie, solo movie coming out, but it had been confirmed that it was a prequel. It was you know, beginning of her story kind of film. And what better way to ramp up a need for a Black Widow? Like, oh, I need it. She's gone. And I want to go see her movie and all her glory and all that. And that's cool. But also, I just felt like with her character arc, it would make sense too, because she's been the person who her and Clint, you know, being human and not Iron Man and, you know, like kind of having their own physical abilities and her losing so much. And especially even when you saw her in the teasers of this film, you could see she was really ragged. You could see she was going through a lot, and her being able to do something like give a big moment that kind of gave her story arc the gravity where she felt like she was, you know, used from so long and on the wrong side for so long, not only with her time being a Russian agent, but then unknowingly working for Hydra. And then, you know, I mean, kind of all of these false plays, you know, she really had to have that hero moment, something that really kind of landed her in that Hall of Fame for what she was doing. Now, I also thought that Cap was going to sacrifice himself in this film, and I'm glad to see the way that it played out, because I genuinely did not think that Tony was going to die just because Robert Downey Jr. is such a bankable character. Yeah. For the MCU as a cameo, you know, I mean, he shows up in three scenes in Spider-Man, and you know, that movie made twice as much as it would have, maybe not twice, but at least a fair amount more than it would have without him.
Yeah.
So
do you think he's going to come back as like a cyber ghost to Peter Parker?
Well,
he's got the hologram set up.
Yeah.
Hey kid. How's it going?
Yeah. I told you not to use the suit that way, you know, like something.
I think I saw
trees.
Maybe it was just maybe it was just someone online, but I might have been you, Rich. I don't remember somebody being like, "Oh my gosh, if Tony Stark is the new Jarvis voice, I'll lose my shit." You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was me.
Wouldn't that be great?
That's pretty funny. Yeah, because now I don't even know who it was. Like, it wasn't even
Well, it was Friday.
It was? Okay. It didn't sound like her for some reason.
But I didn't... it was Friday. I don't know if it was Friday in Endgame. I don't remember the voice. It's kind of nondescript. Was it Friday?
I don't know. It was very... Yeah.
I think it was.
Didn't sound like Jennifer... what's her name? Jennifer... Paul Bettany's wife. I can't think of her name. Jennifer Connelly.
No, because didn't when... When Pepper, I keep wanting to call her Piper for some reason. I don't know why. When Pepper comes up to him, doesn't she say Friday stats, like life stats or whatever?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she does. I'm pretty sure that was Friday still.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know that that's really going to happen, but that would be very cool if we could just get his voice. That would be enough. And Robert Downey Jr. would also be in the position where he doesn't have to try and stay superhero fit, right? Even though I'm sure he's not as in the workroom as much as someone like Hemsworth or Evans, it's still, I mean, Jesus Christ, he's done this for long enough. He was older to start with than those guys. So give him a break and a sandwich and let him use his snowball mic, right?
Well, you know, and now that you mentioned Hemsworth, I mean, what they did with Thor, you know, from Ragnarok to here, I'm telling you, Thor was a character to me that, you know, he was important and I dealt with him, but I didn't really care much about him either way until Ragnarok really made him somebody that you really were interested in seeing what was happening with him. And and then it continued with the last movie, you know, and then this movie, I mean, they just took it completely, you know. I love when what's name calls him Lebowski, because that's exactly who he looks like.
I know.
Right, yeah.
And it's great. I thought everything they did with him was great, because you really, they took a character that's so one-dimensional and they really made him three-dimensional, you know, and they gave him...
Well,
it gave weight to those scenes that were pretty boring to begin with in the Thor Dark World.
Right. Yeah. Right. What a great way to.
Well, it was good. Yeah. Like you were talking about the time travel aspects, and it was fun that they got to do a Back to the Future 2 on the movie where, you know, they get to meet up with their older selves, and the cat fight was great.
It
made
fun.
Me laugh.
Yeah.
And it was just so fun. I was like, at first I was like, okay, I'm going to sit through this, but then they made it actually funny. And good.
Yeah.
And there's so many surprises in the film, because again, it's a 3-hour film, yet like it felt like it was 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and it was like when it was over, I was glad it was over, because it was so like I was emotionally wrung, but it was just,
but it was
so great. I mean, it went by so quickly.
Exactly. Even watching it the second time didn't feel like 3 hours. And even my boyfriend who enjoys the Avengers films, but not so much like the standalone Marvel movies. He's much more into like the big action ones. He was worried. He's like, oh gosh, 3 hours. What am I doing? And he was like, man, it was over in a flash. It was great. So it's even people from different perspectives who aren't like hanging on every Easter egg.
Yeah, it doesn't. It didn't feel like, because I went to see it again. Jackie just thought I was crazy when I told her I went at 11 o'clock at night to go see him.
Like, what are you doing?
Why? So you could just sleep
I know, right? That's what, because I was like, how am I going to get to see this again? There was no other way to do it. So
there's 30 minutes of trailers in front of it anyway. So the three-hour movie ends up being three and a half hours. Yeah.
I made it through the whole, and it was a long day too. It wasn't like it was like I had a good, you know, lounging day, and I made it to the end, no problem. Like I don't know if I told you that that's a segue out of this movie, but when I went to see Attila, I always say the
Alita.
Name wrong.
Attila the Hun.
Attila the Hun, the battle for the Harry and the Hendersons. The worst thing happened to me in that movie. I love that movie.
Yeah,
and
I got to see it.
And right at the end of the movie, right, I must have drifted off and I didn't realize I did, because right at the end when they're fighting, when they're on the racetrack and everything, so I drifted off and all of a sudden all I hear is, yeah, like the crowd screaming. I open my eyes quickly and credits, you know, Robert Rodriguez. And I'm like, I don't know what just happened. What did I miss? I wanted to turn to somebody. See, what happened? Did I see, was there something? You know,
oh man.
I didn't even know I fell asleep. Like I was just so exhausted. So, but that didn't happen this time. So that's a testament to how good this, you know, how quickly this movie feels, you know, just in its pace. Mm-hmm. That it just still keeps you, even a second time, I was still with it. So, you know.
Well, it's, these guys are great. You know, I really, the first movie was a big accomplishment, because I was, after this point, it was, you know, everybody was complaining about the superhero fatigue and you got sick of hearing that. You know, it's like, I was sick of hearing about the superhero fatigue. It's like, I'm not tired of them yet, but they do need to go in a new direction. But, When Infinity War came out, it actually, I was actually curious as to what they were going to do next after such an exhilarating experience of that one, which goes by really quickly too.
Yeah.
It's a really well-crafted movie. So these guys made what, like a 6-hour epic that feels half its length.
It's true. I can't wait for the extended editions. I can't wait to have a whole day. You know, just dedicated to commentaries and extra scenes and director's cuts. And, you know, like, I can't wait to see everything that ended up getting cut out of them.
Yeah, because The audio, I don't know if you listened to the audio commentary for the first one, for Infinity War, but it's a great audio commentary. Mm-hmm. Like one of the greatest little commercial for the Disney app, the Movies Anywhere app, is that it doesn't matter where you buy the movie, like if you buy it on Vudu or whatever, but when you link all your accounts, then you get all these brand new extras, and the audio commentary popped up on the Movies Anywhere app. And so I was able to hear it because that was like one of the movies I just bought digitally. And
that's cool.
Yeah. So
yeah, I've used that so much since you've told me about it, because there are so many things that I had gotten on Amazon, and there was no way for me to activate any kind of special feature. It was just like, you watch the movie and maybe there were special features afterwards that you would just watch.
Yeah.
But I could never see any options for commentaries. And maybe somebody who's a little more savvy with Amazon stuff knows of a back door, you know, into the commentary app. But the Movies Anywhere, oh my God, that was so awesome. I watched so many commentaries that I had never seen before, even on the Logan movie that I had purchased. They had the black and white version also the regular commentary and a black and white commentary. So there were two commentaries for each version. It was crazy. It was so great. So yes, the Movies Anywhere app, for anyone who isn't aware about it, because I didn't know about it, definitely was something very worthwhile for someone who's looking to get those little extra tidbits.
Yeah, because it links all your movies in all play. It doesn't matter where you buy it from, and now your collection is all together. What movie surprised me like that is the Road Warrior, the last one. When I linked to Movies Anywhere, the black and white version of the movie showed up. So I have so I have that version of the movie. So which was cool to watch.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Speed round. Everybody says one phrase from their favorite moment. Starting with me, Peggy Carter and him dancing at the end. Aw.
Oh, you know, I gotta ruin the movie for Jen before I even saw it, because we were watching first Captain America, and I said, you know what would be the perfect ending is if he somehow figures out a way to go back in time, and the last shot is them dancing. And that's exactly what happened. And I swear
you're psychic. You're so good.
I didn't know that was gonna happen. I think the one moment that's kind of exciting for the future is the Loki escaping moment.
Right. Cool. Yeah.
Right. He's got a TV show coming.
Awesome. Yeah, exactly.
Well, exactly. They had to fix it somewhere, which is funny because so does Vision.
Well, it's an interesting
maybe
title.
Scarlet Witch can just material WandaVision. Yeah.
Yeah, it's called WandaVision. So it's like, well, does that mean that this is her point of view? Like, this is.
She basically undid reality. Yeah. She's like super ultra omega powered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if anyone can create WandaVision.
But she doesn't know. That's the thing, though, is that she doesn't know that yet. And that would be interesting if the show is kind of seeing her develop her powers. And see, even if she is kind of making her version of Vision, you know, like creating one out of her memory, would be very interesting to see. I don't know that that's what they're doing, but you know, it just would be an interesting concept.
That's a cool idea. Paul Bettany's back, right? Like he's coming. I would imagine he's back because I'm sure the way they enticed him is you don't have to be dressed up as Vision. You can just be regular Paul Bettany, like in those scenes.
Yeah, I think it was funny how grateful he was and how kindly he spoke of, you know, his second chance at acting and how this saved his career and all of that. And it switched real quick to, I hate being in this red. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
I know.
It's like, oh my God, dude. But I get it. I mean, just because it's amazing also doesn't mean that his day to day there wasn't difficult. So I try and be balanced about
putting all this red paint on my face.
Yeah,
I hate it. I thought I saw an article that Beta Ray Bill might be coming to
Oh yeah,
yes.
I heard about
I'm so excited about Beta Ray Bill.
Did we make a joke about that a long time ago?
You did.
He was in Thor Ragnarok, not as a character, but you saw his face on the side of the Champions.
I didn't even notice that.
Like that tall. That tall kind of tower that had the faces of several different champions. Beta Ray Bill's face was on there, so he definitely is out there. Very exciting.
Hey, what about me? Do I get a movie? My name is Cole. This is my friend. Wouldn't you want to see a whole movie? Just two of them.
Sweet. They're so sweet. I just love Taika. Here's the real deal, though. Like, the real tea is that maybe we will finally get a genuinely, authentically awesome reboot of X-Men. And I just hope that we can see a world that that happens. And I am not taking anything away from Hugh Jackman. Logan was fantastic. Honestly, best X movie of all time. But the X-Men movies, even the rebooted kind of, you know, First Class and stuff like that, just really were missing the mark with me. I am excited about the new one as much as I can be.
You know what I was telling Jen? I said, and I have no problem with Sansa being Phoenix.
Sansa Gray.
Yeah. But at the same time, like this is, they should have introduced her character before because I don't really feel vested in her that I don't know how upset I'm going to be that she becomes Dark Phoenix.
Yeah. No. See, here's my thing. Just like with Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique, I actually really like Jennifer Lawrence. But I don't like her as Mystique. I really like Sansa Stark, Sophie Turner, but I don't like her as Jean Grey. I don't like the casting. And honestly, I feel like they got the casting wrong for all of the X-Men except for Eric and Charles. I think Magneto and Professor Xavier, they got great choices for their character work throughout those films has been incredible. I think that they were spot on. But all of the X kids, all
you
of
don't
the
like Ready
80s,
Player One? I mean Cyclops. I mean Ready Player Cyclops.
No, and I know some people will, you know, fight me on Quicksilver because they really like the Quicksilver, and I'm like, okay, he was okay. But honestly, I don't necessarily think of him as Pietro. You know what I mean? I don't think that's Pietro Maximoff, but that's okay. He was still fun.
Yeah.
But I don't think that he was really embodying that role in the way that I know him from the comics, you know, that's not his fault. It's just, you know, the way that it's written. I was really excited. We were talking about the superhero fatigue, and wanting to do something new. So when I saw that New Mutants trailer that aired last year, maybe 2 years ago,
I was
so excited for a horror mutant movie. Oh my gosh. First of all, I love the New Mutants. I love Wolfsbane. I love all of that stuff. I couldn't wait to see those characters realized. But it sounds like that's been in production hell, and hopefully we'll get it in 2020 now. It looks like
they keep putting it. I don't even think they're filming anything anymore. I just think that when Disney bought Fox, they're kind of like, well, we have no room to show this here, and we have no room to show this there.
But I think those are the last two. Out.
Or they might put it on the Disney Plus service or whatever.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I think that the trailer might be the best part of it. And I'm like, that's too bad, but I still want to see it.
It looks cool. It might be a good movie. I don't know. I mean,
the trailer looks great. Yeah, but again, I do think that Marvel in general, now that they have these new characters and these new access to storylines and crossovers, has a real lot on their plate. But
yeah.
I think they have the chops to handle it well. So I'm looking forward to the future. I think that the future is bright. I do think that most of us are left with that sense of, oh my gosh, this closed a chapter. What can come next? Like, how do you follow that? And I don't want to be, you know, constantly comparing things to the point where nothing is good enough. But I really try and not lower my expectations, but try not to have unrealistic expectations.
I think they have to get us excited. Cause I mean, when they first announced Guardians, like that was one title. I was like, I can't see how they can do this. Cause I know most of the movies that they're probably going to start making are going to be more in the cosmic realm. And that's always been a part of the comics that I never really jumped in on. But what I love that Guardians did is they made them campy in a way that I could enjoy them.
Yeah, you could get on board.
And it's fun. It's kind of like Flash Gordon. It doesn't feel like, you know, doesn't feel like it.
That's a compliment.
That's what it feels like. Like that's what I love so much about Ragnarok. I feel like they really, you know, they really just embrace the ridiculousness of this world.
And there's definitely two kinds of Thor fans though, because there are Thor fans out there that were upset that they went away from the more serious tone from the first couple movies. But I think the bulk of the population, including myself, enjoyed the more fun, fresh take, like you were saying.
Well, yeah, I like the first one a lot. I think it's a great introduction to that world because it's it handles the ridiculousness of it by kind of making it Shakespearean. They got freaking Kenneth Branagh to make it like, you know, legit. So he's a legit director, and all the characters are really well defined, and you know, even Thor's exuberance in the beginning, he's like, "I swear," you know, like he's going crazy. Yeah. To see his evolution, it is cool. Like you said, they're fully embracing the Flash Gordon, Jack Kirby, you know, like that cosmic side of everything, and but they had to like roll us in slowly. If they started with Ragnarok, people would just be like, "Oh, what the hell? What is this? Ice pirates?"
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, they definitely could have done that. The only thing I feel with him, I don't think they realized how funny he was until he started being funny in Saturday Night Live and in movies. And then
people
started working, you know, and realizing, oh, we can do more with this character.
Something that someone else pointed out to me that I wasn't looking for was that in the Infinity War, the gauntlet that Thanos has is on his left hand, whereas the one that Tony makes is right-handed. And it was kind of an interesting visualization of the left-handed being the snap for taking things away and destruction, and having the right hand be the snap for bringing things back to life and creation. And I'm sure that there's got to be some more symbolism in that in some way, but I'd be interested to look into that and see if it was just because they wanted it to be opposite Thor, or if there's more mythology steeped in that. I'm not sure what that might be.
The Russos go, "Holy shit, we did that? I didn't even know." Yeah. Complete accident. Was it? Wow. Yeah. No, that's what we planned.
That's exactly how we wanted it.
Well, the other thing with the snap too is Hulk. I read somewhere that if Hulk is in the next movies, that he's still going to carry that damage, which technically he shouldn't, but that's fine. I mean, I'm okay with that.
Well, as long as you're okay.
As long as I'm okay, that's really what matters. So I'll allow it.
Next? Is Hulk going to be in a wheelchair? The movie? I mean, what's going on with him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I'll allow it, but watch yourselves, McCoy. You know.
Watch yourselves. But it is true. We do run into that situation a lot in hero films where we have someone in their first movie that is kind of the origin story where they come into power. Maybe the second film, sometimes that sophomore effort can falter a little bit because they don't know where to go. And then a lot of times that third film being where you really see them full powered, but then they always have to do the thing where they're crippled in some way, they're powerless in some way, they're going through trauma like Iron Man 3, you know, and it's important to the character. And don't get me wrong, but it does seem like we've seen a lot of that with Hulk, where either he's stuck in Banner or he's stuck in Hulk or he's, you know, now he's crippled. So, I mean, it will be interesting to see how they go through that. But I know he signed on for several more movies.
Oh, did he? Oh, cool. Okay.
Well, his I don't think it's a new contract, but his existing contract still has at least two more films, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken on the exact number, but
I just think it's funny that they can't ever tell him anything that's going on because he's such a big mouth that he doesn't even realize what he's saying.
Oh my gosh, when he had his phone on in the first like 20 minutes of the preview or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Oh, so funny.
Or what about, did you ever see that interview with him and Don Cheadle? And this was when they were promoting Civil War. And he's like,
I don't remember.
He says this just off the cuff without thinking. And he's like, "Wait till you see the next Avengers movie. We all die." Like, he literally says that. And Don Cheadle looks at me. He's like, "Dude, what are you doing?" And then it's like Ruffalo
comes. They play it off. Yeah.
Well, he looks like he wakes up for a second. And then Don Cheadle's like, "Man, you could see that he really looks concerned at that point."
How funny.
And Tom Holland too. Yeah.
I love that they flat out say, like, "No, Tom Holland genuinely doesn't know what's going on. We give him like lines to read on the day, practically."
Well, my wife says something.
We can't give him a whole script.
She says that what she loves about him is like every scene is very real, and you never feel like it. Every scene is heartwarming, or it's real, you know, the emotion is real. Like you're always feeling when he's in the scene, you're feeling whatever he's feeling, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. And it's true too, because that's what makes him probably, you know, the best Spider-Man that you know, out of the two that,
out of the two.
Yeah.
there's been three.
Yeah. After, well, I mean,
you kind of forget the second one.
Yeah. Oh, Andrew Garfield. I'd say Andrew Garfield, I thought he was a great Spidey.
I liked Andrew Garfield more than I liked Tobey Maguire.
Yeah. I mean, I always felt, from the beginning, as much as I liked those movies, I always thought Tobey was miscast because I always felt like he was an Eeyore kind of personality. Yeah. But I love those movies, though. I mean, is that you can't take anything away from those for what they were, for when they were done. Like, I mean, Sam Raimi really showed
all of them
how to make a movie.
Do we have to love all of those movies?
Well, the third one we can. I always feel like the third one he was kind of forced because he didn't even want to make.
I felt like Kirsten Dunst was miscast too. I felt like the only person who was cast very well were like the villains, Willem Dafoe and Doc Ock. Oh, what's his name?
J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, oh, J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, and J. Jonah Jameson should never be recast in any film. Seriously, he just needs to stay that character. Like,
yeah. Well, I heard they did cast somebody, and I thought they showed it was an African-American actor, like is what they did. But it wasn't anybody famous.
J. Jonah Jameson, though, he was so perfect.
Yeah, he was the best.
He was so perfect. But it did feel like Spidey and MJ were... I don't know. I didn't like them. And I didn't like them together. And I didn't like them separate. And I just didn't like them. Just didn't like them.
It's sacrilege.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not saying that they were bad movies. I just think it was the wrong casting. You know, it's just, it's just like my opinion, man.
it's like when you look back at the original Superman, it's like there's a lot of charm in it and a lot to like. But does it fit in with anything Superman, like, not really, but it's, you know, you can enjoy Clark, you know, Christopher Reeve's performance as Clark Kent bumbling, but that's completely wrong, you know, and you can, you know, but he was great as Superman, but then Lex Luthor's completely wrong, you know, so there's all of these things, so you can still kind of enjoy them, but, you know, they're not, we still haven't gotten a Superman movie, really.
Yeah, it was baby steps,
Yeah.
You know, so, we had to ease ourselves into this.
Yeah. But I think Tom Holland absolutely is just the best. I think that he's the perfect Peter Parker. Yeah. And I think they were so smart to go with someone who was athletic as a dancer. Cause we might have said this already on the show before, but you know, they found him on a run of Billy Elliot.
Yeah.
Which is incredible because the dancing in that, I've only seen the movie, not the live performance that he was in, but the movie, was absolutely fantastic. So you know that the live show has to be the same, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so
you mean recording of the, you mean the when they filmed the show, right?
Like No. I've only seen the actual movie with a different actor.
Oh, okay. But okay.
Just being aware of that movie, I know that the dancing has to be great. So I'm sure that the Broadway show has even more because it's on Broadway. So.
Yeah, no, it was. So I mean, it is. And I've seen clips on YouTube of him as the part.
I've only seen him as Rihanna.
Oh, yeah.
Dancing as Rihanna.
Yeah, on the lip sync show.
Yes. I showed that to my mom too. And she thought it was special. She's like, okay, he comes out and he dances a little bit as Singing in the Rain. And then he switches costume and comes back out to do a Rihanna song. But what's funny is that my mom, at the end of it, she was like, oh, yeah, that was nice. And I'm like, oh, my God, I just couldn't believe he could dance like that. That's incredible. And she's like, yeah, but he just was, like, dancing around in a suit. And I'm like, no, Mom, that was still him. And
that's
she's
funny.
Like, it was? Yeah. Rewind that. We watched it again. And I'm like, yes, that's the whole point.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of owned that one.
Yeah, oh, it was so great. Far From Home, and I'm excited to see what they do with Mysterio in that one because he doesn't appear to be the villain in the trailers, but we know from the history of his character that he is a villainous character.
Hearing the story, what it is, right? You know, the story is that there's these beings that are coming and attacking, and Nick Fury thinks that it may be from multiple universes, you know. My theory is that this is the Mysterio that we know, and he's creating these illusions to make himself a hero. And that's why they can't figure out where they're coming from. So, because he was,
and that's
a movie,
why he doesn't want Spider-Man involved.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's smart. You know, I hate to ruin it because that's the only problem.
Thanks,
because,
Rich.
Yeah, sorry. Because I know the comic, and I'm like, when I first saw it was Mysterio, I'm like, just the first moment that I saw the trailer, I'm like, oh, that's fake. He's doing that. Like, that was the first thing I thought when I saw it. Because I knew Mysterio, you know. So,
That's funny.
Yeah. No, but I'm still excited
about
it. I love
that they actually, even in the trailer, give you a shot of the fishbowl head. I'm just yes.
Yeah. We were, ever since Hellboy 2, we've been waiting for that fishbowl head, you know, when they did that character. So, yeah. No, I think it looks great. I think it looks a lot. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait
for
that
one. Did either of you see that new Hellboy?
No.
Yeah.
Did you?
No. I saw the trailer and I saw that trailer and I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
I know. Thanks. And you know what's sad? I was so sad because when I heard that Hopper was cast, I thought it was a great choice. I was like, oh yeah, he's got the build, he's got the face, he's got, you know. I like
the attitude,
him.
Yeah, and he even sounded like him. You know, he was trying to be him.
Yeah, but honestly, the voice though in the trailers, I just felt like was not there.
It was wrong.
Was not there for me.
It was just all wrong. And then Moni.
And I love.
Oh no!
I love the people were spreading around a meme that was Steve Carell from Anchorman that was just like, "You're not Ron."
No, yeah.
<You're not wrong>.
That's pretty great.
I am accurate. I mean, I'll definitely watch it when it comes out on TV because, of course, I will. But
and I like Mila Jovovich. I'm sure she'll do something in it. Fun.
To be honest, until you just mentioned it, I completely forgot that Hellboy even came out. Like that's.
I know. Yeah. I think everybody else did too. It's pretty sad. it looked like a lot of hard work went into it, but
yeah. It did. It definitely just, did. I hate to prejudge, but I did hear a lot of people talking about the story felt lacking, and that's a shame. So we'll see. And especially when I love Guillermo so much, it's hard to, you know. And then Clint and his family survived. That's really the only other thing, right? Like, Clint got his family back. Ant-Man's got his, you know, teenage daughter. That's weird.
Yeah, that was cool. I like that idea. That was cool.
That idea, too.
Although, you know, when I saw the movies and the rat ran by the thing and turned it on, there was somebody that went and like made that noise. I'm like, I'm like, what's the, okay, so stop there. Trust me, there are rats in San Francisco. I lived over there. You know, I know what it's like.
Right?
So
it might be a stretch, but they got to get there somehow.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, what are you going to do?
We got to get this story moving.
This movie's ruined. You know, like Iron Man was coming out. I wasn't even like I was excited about a Marvel universe. It was just,
right.
You know, they pulled me in, you know, like, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me too. Because Iron Man was not a comic that I read growing up. So I had no like love. Like built in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had plenty of love built in for Robert Downey Jr. Only You for Life over here, but you know.
Yeah. Well, I used to confuse him and Doctor Strange like all the time, like because they look so similar in the comics,
know, right?
Facial
right.
hair
so,
pros, yeah.
Yeah, so that so I remember thinking that Doctor Strange was Iron Man at one point when that you know. So that was, I mean, but not before the movies, obviously, but yeah. Yeah, not yes now, but they've really created their own identity. So, and yeah, it's just really when you think about everybody's seen it. I mean, it, you know, the amount of money it made in a weekend is just staggering, and the fact
it's ridiculous.
That
oh my gosh, seriously, yeah. I genuinely wonder how much kickback Jon Favreau gets for starting this entire machine.
Yeah,
because he was the one who was passionate about making that film. And he was the one who made it a comedy because, God, what was it? He was even saying that when Kevin Feige was watching it, the screening before it actually released, you know, maybe not the final cut, but one of the final cuts, he kind of turned and was like, this is actually kind of funny, and was like surprised. And Jon Favreau was like, yeah, it is. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And seriously, that just breathed life into this whole amazing thing. Like, how incredible. And yeah. I love that Favs came back in several of these films, but especially happy to see him at the end of this one.
Yeah, he said something. So, he talked about that. He said something about how it's such a surreal thing that a cameo that he just threw at himself just to be in the movie. And now he's like, you know, a character who's going to be popping up in a bunch of other, you know, episodes. So,
and even with him in the Spider-Man movie coming up, you know what I mean? Like, I love his presence. I just love him so much. I think he's incredible. Yeah. Shout out to Jon Favreau.
Go.